News, but for those of you who don't know me, I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, going to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. I've lived in Georgia and in Michigan since then, but I'm back in Greensboro now. And when I came back to Greensboro this time, I wanted to really put a special emphasis on evangelism. And looking in God's Word, it says to go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I can't even talk now for some reason. But you know the verse. And so we go to Jerusalem all the time, our local town, right? Every chance that we get, we're going and doing different things and inviting people to the local church. And so I wanted to take a chance and step out in faith a little bit. And I said, let's go to Judea. Let's go to somewhere that's a little bit farther away, but not all the way out there, maybe. And hopefully one day we'll be able to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and take a group to go to another country. But there's a lot that has to do with that and the logistics of that. And I learned a lot about the logistics of a trip on this one. I had been to this location several times before, but each time as a student and as one that just got to sit back and relax when all of the stress was happening. And so I learned a new perspective this time, getting to lead the group, getting to make the reservations and see how big the bill is for the hotel and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is that I also learned a lot about faith and learned a lot of respect for those people. If you've ever organized a group, led a group, been an elder, I realize now I will continue to grow in respect for you and the things that you do. It's a great bit of work, but also a great honor. And so this trip, you know, some people have asked me why go here? Why go out to Emmanuel Mission Station in Tiznos Pass, Arizona? I'll show you. This is the mission station of school. As you notice, there is not much around it. It's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. So we flew into Phoenix. We departed from Shannon Hills parking lot at 6 a.m., give or take a few minutes. Thank you, Clayton, for being late. And I'm just kidding. I mean, he was a little late, but. And we went to Charlotte, and we flew into Phoenix. And in Phoenix, we went and we rented vans, and we drove for 7 to 9 hours, give or take, up to the station. And the last 10 or so miles is off-road. Dirt roads. And so it's very bumpy. You kind of leave civilization and go into a different section of the world. And it is a different nation. It does have some of our rules. I'm not entirely sure how the laws work, but we are on the Navajo Nation. And so there's a lot of things that are different out there, and it's definitely a different culture. There's a different way of life, a different way of thinking. A lot of the people there still don't have electricity or running water. And so it's really an interesting mix of being able to go somewhere that is in the United States of America, but also we're going to another country. We're going to a different place. And so it really gives us a chance as we go on this trip and hopefully give you a little insight onto the fact that there are people not far from home. There's people living in Reidsville that are living in conditions that probably aren't much better than some of these houses were. And we can be reminded that we might live in what we would call the greatest country on earth, but it still needs Jesus. And it still needs a lot of other things too. So we know there's a need there. There's a need for Christ. There's a need for evangelism because of the culture and the Navajo way of thinking. Very far away from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also just a great physical need. And what better way to evangelize to these people than fulfilling their physical needs? I mean, the Lord Jesus did it, continually healing people and showing them this. And so we felt that that's a big thing. We want to go somewhere where we can help to solve a physical need. And so there were a lot of different work projects and things that we did. And we went out there. It's a little closer up at the school and see what we had next. And so the trip, for those of you who haven't already gotten the lowdown from one of the parents or other people, after we got to the station, the next day we drove out and did our shopping. It's an hour and a half to 2 hours to the closest town with a Walmart. So we drove, did our shopping. And at that point in time, a wrench kind of got thrown in the mix. We were planning to all go shopping. We got to the station and around midnight, and one of the ladies there at the station says, there's a Navajo conference, a Navajo ladies conference that started tonight and it goes through tomorrow. If any of you ladies want to come, we think you should come. And it was kind of a logistical nightmare, and I thought, you know, I kind of wish she hadn't said anything. But we worked it out, and they got to go, and I realized that it was really God working. And I would encourage you, if you get the chance to talk to any of these girls, ask them about that women's conference. Ask them about what they got to experience in there, seeing insight into the Navajo culture and being able to talk to those ladies. It was a great blessing. And I know several of them told me that was the highlight of their trip. So I can't share it because I wasn't there. I was kind of sad that it was just a ladies' conference, but they got to enjoy that. And then starting on Sunday and going through Thursday, we had Bible clubs and work projects. And so we went to different homes, and two different homes we went each day. But on the way there, we stopped and picked up some other people. So it was a kind of a combination of several homes to get these groups to share the gospel with them, to share the story of John Payton with them. I don't want to give too much of that away because I have other people sharing. And then we were able to go to the Grand Canyon on our way back. And one of the cool things about the Grand Canyon is not only because you're standing on the edge of a huge, amazing display of God's power and the fact that this is the beauty of a sin-ridden earth that groans in labor pains. You know, this is the God that we serve, and He holds all of this in His hands. But also, do you know how many people visit that place? Do you know how many tracts you can hand out in about 3 minutes at the Grand Canyon National Park? It's a lot. And a lot of those people that are there are not from here, and they're eager to learn anything they can about American culture. And so you get the chance to hand them a track or something that they can take and look at. We saw each bit of this as a missions trip. It wasn't a missions trip from Sunday to Thursday and then vacation. But we actually had each of the students and leaders that went on this trip commit to making, on the trip out there and the way back, a combined 30 gospel-centered interactions. Whether that was specifically trying to talk to someone or handing out a tract or something like that, they all did that. And some went above and beyond, I know. So there were at least 750 gospel-centered interactions in our travels and in our time at the Grand Canyon. And that many people getting the Word of God, I say that's worth That's an amazing thing. I'm so happy that I got to be a part of it, that these guys got to be a part of it. And then after that, we headed back to Phoenix, and I will never book a flight that early again for a group of 26 people, 25 people. When the flight says it leaves at 5:30, it's like 5:30, that's not so bad, except you've got to be at the airport 2 hours before that and wake everybody up before that. So 2 a.m. came really early that morning. But we all got back. It was a smack in the face when we got back to Greensboro, and the temperature was the same as Phoenix, and the humidity was about 10 times higher, and the air conditioning in the bus was broken. But we made it back. We're glad we're back. I just wanted to give you a little bit of the summary of what the trip was, and now I'm going to let some of these other guys share with you about their experience. But before I do that, I actually have a fun little thing that I want to do, and we'll try to do it quickly. You may see our classy shirts. It says SHBC, which they said it was okay if I didn't make an RBC edition. So it just says SHBC. And on the back it says, He died, He rose, we go. And I have a few extras, and I know all of you are dying to get one. So I want to play a quick game of heads or tails to see if you can win a t-shirt from our trip. So I want everybody to stand up. Hey, sharing the gospel, going on a mission trip is fun. Going to church can be fun too. We're going to play a little game. So heads or tails, if you don't know how it works, I've got a quarter. I'm going to flip it. If you think it's going to land on heads, then you put your hands on your head. If you think it's going to land on tails, put your hands on your tail. If you get it right, you get to stay standing. If you get it wrong, you get to sit down. And it's in church. You can't lie. So be honest. All right. So everybody pick heads on your hands or hands on your tails. It is heads. So if your hands are on your head, you are safe to keep standing. If your hands are on your tail, go ahead and have a seat. All right, let's see. Heads again. Heads again. All right. Oh, hitting the projector. Here we go. Everybody picked. It's tails. It's tails. Oh, we weeded out a lot on that one. All right, let's see what we can do. Everybody pick again. It's tails. Oh, is anybody left? Oh, we've got two left. We've got two left. And is it just two left? Oh, what? It's rigged. All right. Well, you know what? She's already got a shirt, so you come on down and pick one out. We have large, extra large, and 2X, whichever one you want. You pick. All right. At this time, I'm going to get Levi to come up and share his experience on the trip and what all he did. I'm going to give you this. Can you clip that on somewhere?
Hello. Before I get started talking about the mission trip, I would like to thank the Bible Chapel for sponsoring us to go on this mission trip. It was just a great opportunity to go. And if you haven't already told, I'm really nervous. And if it wasn't for this trip, I probably would have never gotten up here and talking. And every night we had a BBS type thing, and that really helped me because everybody had to share a message, and it really helped you just go closer to the Lord and come out of your comfort zone and just talk about the Lord and just help you learn closer to the Lord. And we also had work projects, and that just helped us learn, like Isaac said, how these people are much less fortunate than we are, and we just take advantage of all the necessities we have. Most of the people there didn't even have running water, and that really just shone a light on how we are much fortunate than they are. And another thing that really helped me was just going up to these kids and talking to them. And most of these kids hadn't even heard about the Lord, and we just take a granted going to the church and going to church every Sunday and Wednesday, because these kids, as you saw, they live miles and miles from any church or any organization, and it's just really hard for them to go closer to the Lord. And also, I would like to invite anyone here that's thinking about going the next time we have it, that I would just invite them. And as I thought when I was going, it was just going to be for the younger teens, but as I found out that it's for people of all ages, no matter how old you are, you can grow closer to the Lord through this mission trip. And that is all I have to say.
All right. Now, Levi was on my work group, and I got to pick out the work groups this year, so why in the world I put myself on this one, I don't know. But what we were doing was digging, essentially. And I thought, well, this won't be too bad, because he said put a barrier down and put mulch for the playground. And then found out that it's a preschool playground, because the local preschool had shut down, and so there was no preschool at all. So the school there at the Manual Mission was opening up a preschool so that there would be education for that age group in the community. And there's certain regulations, and so it had to be level. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to level desert dirt, but it's pretty difficult. And it's also not the most fun thing in the world. And we got the barrier in level, and I thought we were done. And then he said, okay, now make this whole area level. And I said, Lord, give me patience. And then we did that, and I was like, thank goodness. He said, all right, we can put the pickaxes away. We're done. And I was like, yes. And then he said, okay, now move all of this dirt over here. And I said, oh, thank goodness we're done now. And he said, all right, now go level that part of the playground. And then we finally finished that, and I said, surely no more. And he said, over the years, the sand has blown across the parking lot and filled up this whole corner. We need to dig it down like 3 feet. And I was doing my best to remember why I was there. And every time I looked over at Levi, he was working like a fiend. He was swinging the pickaxe. He was doing the shovel. And I thought, man, I'm not even that old, but like I used to be able to do that. I don't know what happened. I do know what happened. I got fat. But it has an effect on the body, you know. And so, but he did a great job, and I would brag on every single one that came, but he's from here, and he was just up here, so I get to point him out, put him on the pedestal, and he just did an amazing job. He was a testament to his family and to this church family and what you're teaching. So be proud of sending him out anywhere. I would approve of him to send as a representative anywhere. So that was a good time, and that was the one project there that we were on, and it was a lot of work, but now they have a playground that's ready for their preschool, ready to go with 4 to 6 inches of level rubber mulch and a more level parking lot, I guess, too, so that's good. At this time, I'm going to get Jed to come up and talk with you for a few minutes about his experience on the trip.
Well, I guess I'm up here to tell about what I did on the mission trip. So this all started back on a Wednesday night, and there was a lot less people, and I wasn't that nervous. I wasn't forced to go either, but so it was an announcement, and I kind of blew it over because, oh, it's a missions trip. Why would I want to go on one of those? And then after talking to my friends and family, I realized how great of an opportunity this was to serve the Lord and to get to know Him better and to serve people that don't have all that we have. And so I decided to go, and the funds were taken care of, like the RBC, our chapel, helped pay for some. My parents and some other people helped chip in. So did I. And broke now, but... But after getting there and getting unpacked and going to Farmington and buying all our stuff that we needed, it came Sunday. And Sunday was the first VBS, and that was the night where I had to teach my lesson. And I don't like public speaking, if you can tell. It's not my strong suit. I don't really do it that much. I've never teached in front of people or did public speaking. The most I did was a debate class at Emma. And so it was a big step for me. And luckily, I had some great leaders that were able to push me off this cliff. It was a really great, a really good learning experience. And let's see. So I learned a lot about teaching, and luckily I did have some great leaders, Isaac and Chad and John, Sean's brother. But so after getting the speaking thing out of the way, we had the mission, the mission work days or whatever, that were from Monday to Thursday, and I was on the group with Chad and Steven and some other people, and we were doing some framing work on a trailer home and some plumbing. And that was a fun learning experience, probably one of the better work projects, more kind of laid back than moving 20 tons of dirt, but... So after that was done, we went to the Grand Canyon, and they had a hike that they had planned, and some leaders were heading that up, and I thought the other option, which was riding around the rim in a bus and having a great breakfast and waking up late, was boring, so I went on this 12-mile hike down into the canyon and then back up, which I don't know if it was worth it or not. So, after waking up super early and driving to the canyon, we hiked down, and it was pretty amazing to hike down. It was nice and cool. The lighting was amazing because the sun had just come up, and we made it to our destination in like 2 hours. And then we hung out there for a couple hours, ate some beef jerky, and looked at the Colorado River. Then we began to hike back up. And the first 3 miles of that was great. I packed on like 10 pounds of rocks and was doing great. And then we got to like the 9-mile mark. And after that, it started getting really hard. And I began to basically die. But I finally made it to the to the last checkpoint. And that was a mile and a half from the top, and I decided not to fill up on water and not to throw my rocks away because they had become my friends. And so about a half a mile from the top, I ran out of water. And I thought about jumping off the cliff, but I kept on pushing, and I could see the top. And I got the second wind, and I didn't want to get trampled by the crowd behind me. So I kept walking and walking, and I finally made it to the top and collapsed. But I think what I learned from this trip is that you should really take a step out in faith and do what you think, do what the Lord is leading you to do, no matter what that is or what the cost is for that. You should do what you feel the Spirit is leading you to do. And this was really an amazing trip that I got to go on. And the only reason I could was from people like you who supported me and prayed for me, and for the leaders like Isaac and the other ones. It was really just an amazing... It was a really amazing experience, and I couldn't think of a better way to spend my time than to go on that mission trip. And y'all should go if you ever have a chance to go on a mission trip or hike in the Grand Canyon. It was really fun. Just make sure you're in better shape than me. It was a really great experience, and I'd like to thank, you know, all of y'all for letting me do that. Thank you.
When I presented to my elders the idea of going on this trip again, it had been 4 years since we had gone, and I told them from my experience, I said, this trip is an amazing opportunity for evangelism. It's an amazing opportunity to impact these people. And there's people at our church that have gone on these trips in the past that are still in communication with the Navajo people that they know. And we've seen people get saved through this. You go out and you go on this trip and you see that we serve a God that is working. We serve a God that is real. And it's an amazing experience, but I would wager that it even does more good for us that went on the trip. I think about the friends that I have and some of the biggest bonding experiences. Part of the reason that I know I'll have lifelong friends is because we were in the trenches together. Some of them we had dug ourselves. But the truth is, it's really a great thing, and I am just really honored that I was able to grow together with this group of people, that we were able to expand it past just all these people that I already know. There were these three new teenagers that I had met before but didn't know, and now I have a relationship with each of them, and it's amazing, and I can pick on them, and it's really a good thing. I'm really glad they came, and the other thing is it amazed me on this trip how God used each of us in our special skills. On this trip, we do our best to push people off cliffs. You know, hey, try something new. Try something new. Do something different. Step out in that. But the fact is that each of us are not meant to be teachers. Each of us are not meant to be each of these different things, right? But we're put together as a group. And anything that's worth doing, anything that we do, if we can do it without prayer, it wasn't worth doing. But this trip, we believe you guys were praying, or we were playing, we had prayer partners with each of these people, and God sent just the right people on this trip. Just the right people to impact each other and to impact the people there. And it really was an amazing time. And so I'm going to get Ethan to come and share his experience on the trip now.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, I want to thank y'all all for the thoughts and prayers on this trip, on the way there and on the way back. And I want to thank the chapel for sponsoring all of us to be able to go on this trip. And I had a really great time. And I growed a lot spiritually. I learned so many new things. And it was great to be able to see a whole new culture, how people lived. Not just in Reedsville or just in our area, but you get to see a whole different type of people. Their living conditions are so much different than ours, and we're truly blessed for what we have. And my highlight of the trip was the VBS. I really enjoyed talking to the kids. Some of the lessons I did, I talked about the resurrection of Lazarus and spiritual blindness and physical blindness. And I also talked about a missionary man named John Payton, who was a very great missionary, and I explained how he used the resources that the Lord gave him to go out to meet new people, new culture, just like we did. And we did as a group. And if you haven't been or want to go, just ask them, the people who went about it, some of the people from Shannon Hill, some of the leaders, some of us. And I want to thank all the leaders that went with us on the trip and everything, and all the new friends I've made, all the old friends I went with, and I just had an overall great time, and thank you. And I would like to ask y'all to continue praying for the Emmanuel Mission as they proceed further and spread God's word. And thank you.
I promise we didn't give them a discount to say all those nice things, but we do appreciate it. They've mentioned it a few times. I don't know when we'll go next or where we'll go next, but I do want to now invite each of you to be thinking about that. We want people of all age groups to go. We were very grateful. Joe Cardillo came with us this time. He was our oldest, and I don't even know how old he is, but he's older. And he volunteered to sleep on the couch in the living room because he thought he'd have more privacy. I think he regretted that by the end of the trip. He wasn't used to staying up as late as some of us. But we kind of learned a lot about where to put different people and how to get the older people the rest they need and the younger people the socialization that they need and that kind of thing. So I anticipate the next trip will be even better. So there's that. I came up with something to say, and then all the compliments overwhelmed me, and now I've forgotten what I was going to say. So while I think of that, I'm going to get another one of the leaders that came, Chad Cecil, to come up and share a little bit about his experience on this trip. Oh, yeah.
Well, if I figure this thing out, we'll be all right. Here we go. My name is Chad Cecil. It was my first time going. I had been wanting to go for a long time and always just would never work out. And I've been praying about it. And then finally, Isaac stood up one Sunday at the Lord's Supper during the announcements and announced that we was having a missions trip coming. And the Lord really laid it on my heart to go, and He provided the way to go. And like most of the kids, the young men here, thanked y'all for supporting them. I thank you as well through prayer, and I thank the chapel for being generous and paying some of the way. And then that was a generous thing. And I tell you, I had a blast, and I had a blast. Doing there and doing the work and seeing the way they live and seeing their culture. I had a blast with these young men right here. I tell you, I know they were, forgetting my name over there a little bit, but but that's okay. I looked at Isaac, I said, I'll get them back when I get up here. it was good. I had experience. Jedediah was on my work team. On the project, and like Isaac said, the Lord works it all out. He always does. We just have to have faith and trust in Him that He's going to. We didn't know what projects we were getting into when we got out there, and we was John was talking to Isaac and asking him, telling him what the different projects was going to go, and they said, well, we need to frame a 8x12 room for a larger room on a Navajo family's trailer. But do you have anybody that's done any framing? And Isaac didn't know my background. And he's like, I don't know. And he turned around, and I just happened to be standing there. He turned around, looked at me, and goes, man, do you know how to frame? I was like, yeah. I built my house. So, and my dad was a contractor, and that's what I did growing up. So the Lord worked it out. The Lord knew we needed a plumber. Clayton Carpenter was there. He's a plumber. Lord works all those things out, and that was a neat deal just to see how the Lord works. The Lord taught me probably more than I taught anybody else, or if I did teach anybody anything. But just listen to the guys here speak about taking that step of faith or prepare. Like Jedediah said, man, he wasn't in shape. I always say I'm in shape. It might be round, but I'm in shape. But he said about... not about being prepared, so I talked about, I had the privilege of speaking Sunday morning out there at the church there on the mission station. Isaac had asked me if I would do so, and the Lord provided me the opportunity to do that, and I spoke on when God tested Abraham. You know, and the Lord taught me in that passage. I had looked at that passage numerous of times, and he taught me more this time than I think I've ever been taught before. I looked at when the Lord told him what he was had to do, go sacrifice his son on the mount I'll tell you to go to. It says he rose early. He didn't hesitate. He rose early. And it says he went out and he gathered two of his men and his son, and they chopped wood. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking as I'm reading this passage, I'm thinking, hold on a minute, man, he is chopping the wood. He is preparing the wood he's going to sacrifice his son on. And I said, what would be going through his mind? I know what would be going through my mind. As I think about me, you know, I think, man, if I was to offer him, I have to be told to offer my son. And I had to prepare, chop the wood and prepare like that. What would I be thinking? And I thought, man, when you look at the faith he had, I thought to myself, and I shared this, that he was probably singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," as he was swinging that axe, chopping that wood, as he was preparing. And then we sang, "Leaning on the everlasting arms," and I was thinking, standing on the promises because of what God had promised him. You know, and I'm thinking, we need to be like that. You know, being prepared, taking that step, having that faith as he had. And I thought about when Jedediah, I handed him the tape measure. And we sitting there. I told you I was going to get you back. We were sitting there and we had, I put the band, we put the band around and got them up on blocks, got it all level. Now we're getting ready to put the floor joist in. And I said, hey, y'all guys, go over there and take the 2x2, nail it on the band so I can lay the joist on. You know, okay, 5.5 inches down all the way across. I was sitting there, me and Jesse was cutting some of the floor joist. And I turned around and looked, and it looked like this. And I said, who had the measuring tape? Jedediah. So we didn't let him use the measuring tape the rest of the week, but I tell you what, he done a good job. Got right in there and helped, and I try to teach him as well as along, trying to teach him different things on this is why we do it this way, this is why we do it this way, this is what you need to do when you're framing in windows and doors, and so it was a good experience, and I really enjoyed it. I encourage all to go. That can pray about it and let the Lord lead. And I still got one guy to get back before I stop talking, and that's Levi. As Isaac said, when we got off the road that night, didn't think we was ever going to get there the first night out, and I was one of the drivers of the van, and along with Clayton and Scott Murphy, and I was about at sleep, no lie, when we was getting there. But when we got on that dirt road, it will wake you up because you're all over the place. And shortly after that, we've nicknamed Levi Little Bladder because he had to go so bad that he couldn't, And so anyway, I'll leave with that. I told I'd get him back.
Chad.
We have a little video to show you of the trip before we wrap up, but I did just want to go over the different work projects that we did do. The playground was mentioned, the addition to a home. There was tile replaced in the cafeteria at the mission station, a bathroom remodel there, and sheetrock and painting a room that they used to keep Christmas gifts for the Christmas season for the Navajo children. So a lot of those things that we were able to do in this mission's work. And I hope that the things that have been shared and the video that we're about to watch get you excited and get you excited about what they've said coming on a trip like this, but not just that. But get you excited about the fact that the same God who's in Arizona working is in Reidsville working. And the same God that wants to be with you when you go on trips to Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth, He wants to be with you in trips in Jerusalem, in Reidsville, here, locally. And He is working and He is ready and He is willing. And He said that if you obey Him, If you step out and you are a laborer into the fields, he has promised a harvest. And if we stand on the promises of his word, when we're chopping the wood like Abraham was, then we can be sure that even though it's hard, even though it may be out of our comfort zone, that he has promised us that he is working and that he is doing something. And we have the privilege, you have the privilege to be part of that. How amazing that we have the privilege to be part of that mission, of the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I hope that you'll be doing that here. Get excited about the God that you serve and what he is doing. I'm going to see if I can pull this video up real quick. Computer, hopefully, is not dead.
a little muffled. I apologize. I don't know if it's my computer or what, but the video hopefully gave you a glimpse of what was going on. Two things I did forget to mention, work projects. One was cleaning out a mechanic shop, a bus barn there for the school, and another, which was a big one, was the food. We had several people that were in the kitchen, and we had between 10 and 30 extra people from the station and the reservation surrounding come and eat with us at different times. Real quick, I just want to get everybody who was on the trip to stand up so everybody can see. A lot of us are wearing these shirts. We did that so if you can ask us questions. Some came from different places and weren't able to. These are some of the 26 people that went. I would encourage you to shake their hands tonight, talk to them, ask them questions. You guys can have a seat now. And I just want to close real quick. I mentioned that God says that he's faithful and the fruit is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. While we were out there, we had the opportunity of seeing a Navajo guy about my age make a profession of faith in Christ. And he was asking some pretty serious questions about comparing the God of the Navajos to the God of the Bible. And John Allen was able to give him some answers that really seemed to make things click. And we were told by some of the people there to be wary of false professions and to be careful of that. But when we shared it with one of the ladies that lived on the mission that knew him, she was so excited. She said that God had been working on him. And that she was so excited to get him a list of churches that he could go when he goes to Arizona and works and those different things. So you can be praying for him. His name is Marshall. Pray that that was a genuine profession of faith, and that if it was not, that those answers that he got would continue to help him in that. But hopefully it was, and we're excited about that and what God is doing. And also, there was a girl, Marshana. I don't know how you spell that, so don't ask me. But Marshana, and she was really interested in the things of the Lord as well, asking, what does the blood of Jesus washing my sins away mean? You know, really asking some questions. So be praying for her as well. And that is all that I've got from our little section. So I think I went a little over. I apologize for that, but I'll turn it back over to... Over there. There you go.
Thank you. You all for sharing with us about that. So what I would like to do, it's 10 after now, I would like to give our brother Suarez maybe just up to 5 minutes, if you would, just to maybe give them a brief update and about the ministry of Bolivia. We'll just stay in this room, and then after that we'll take prayer requests and close in prayer. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I thought you might like to have just a brief moment to just give them a quick overview and update of what's going on in Bolivia.